In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The text for our meditation today, all three texts are relevant and factor into our discussion and proclamation of the Holy Trinity, but it's especially this verse 8 from Isaiah chapter 6. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. This is our text, dear friends. Please be seated. Three words for Trinity Sunday. Three God verbs. Actions of the Almighty. Create, restore, and quicken. Three words which get to the essence of who God is as much as is humanly possible, while also preserving in God's essence that mystery which will always be beyond His created creatures. Three words, create, restore, and quicken. Three words which form community among us as we gather around the divine community, God Himself in three persons who has always been an us. I'd like to offer three words for your meditation and contemplation this Trinity Sunday in an effort to also encourage us as a community of believers. First, the word create. Create. This is the verb of the Father, who created the universe from nothing by the power of God's speaking. This is God's unique ability, who spoke, Let there be, and there was. God is creative. It's one of His fundamental characteristics, the profound variety in the created world. Did you know that a recent estimate, as recent as 2011, suggests that there are 8.7 million species of life on Earth. They had a hard time narrowing it down that far. The previous estimate was anywhere between 3 million and 100 million. But recent study and a method of trying to estimate how many species there are in the world suggests that 8.7 million different creatures exist in the world. That's a creative God. That's a God who could have stopped at, say, a few hundred thousand. That's about as high as we can count. But that's a God who wanted to outdo Himself again and again and again. It's a testament to the fact that God is creative, that there are not just millions, nor even just billions of stars, but actually, did you know that a recent estimate suggests that there are as many as 1 billion trillion stars? And if that number confuses you, as it does to me, it's a one with 21 zeros after it. That's how many stars cosmologists think there are in the universe. That's a creative God. That's a God who likes to make stuff. A lot of stuff. Now, human beings lack the ability to create from nothing, but we do create complex things from simpler materials, don't we? Think of the craftsman working with wood or with metal or with cloth. Or think of the musician assembling notes and rhythms and phrases. Or think of the farmer or the chef. Or think of what you create, your art form. Creation abounds in our lives. Whether we consider ourselves artists or not, all of us have a hand in some creating. Human creativity, dear friends, human creativity is a sharing in the activity of God. And whether you consider yourself to be that artist or not, you probably make something. I would love to see it. I'd love to see what your hands have created, whether it's a simple meal or a masterpiece. God has blessed you with this quality which is in Himself, which is part of His own community, His divine being. And as then we gather in community, and put our lives together, and when we say, what are we going to make together, then the excitement begins. It's no secret probably to many of you that I've been learning to make craft beer since about January. Actually, Simon, who plays the organ today, has been teaching me. It's a skill that he knew before I did. And this is a sense of community then, as we begin to bring the ingredients together, and it takes many hands. And Eric has been joining us and others that we invite in. And then it takes about 5 hours or so to brew the beer. What do you do with 5 hours together? Well, you learn a lot about one another, and you see a lot of each other's lives as we spend the time creating. Aside from the end product, which is special in itself, there is this teamwork, this combining of lives, this co-creating, and it's truly special. I believe the Father's creative heart is part of that image of God, which we've all been blessed with. And when we create in community, when we make something together, then we are really living the lives that He imagined for us when He put us on the earth, and when He said, go forth and multiply and have dominion. May it be so among us. May the creative work of God, that creation which began in God's own imagination, may it be reproduced again and again and again, a billion trillions of creation for eternity to come. The second word is restore. Restore. And this is the verb of the Son, Jesus, who came to make all things new. Jesus, who lived and demonstrated perfect love and surrendered himself to his enemies and gave up his life. Jesus, who was executed in the most horrific of ways, killed by the state, made an example of. Jesus, in whom was true life, life that overcame even death. Restore. The word reminds us that there has been and there still is a problem which plagues us as individuals in this earth. There is more complexity to life than just endless good creation. Since Adam and Eve, we have all been doing the same rebellious thing, turning away from God, turning inward, twisting God's creation and breaking it, breaking our own lives and breaking the communities in which we have been planted. Jesus came to restore that which had been twisted and bent out of shape by our own sinfulness. Jesus came to make all things new. Restore. This is the verb of the Son, and its object is your heart and mine. Its object is your life and mine. Its object is our community, which can at times also be broken. Wounds which we inflict upon one another, insensitivities and thoughtless actions, they can warp and twist our community. They can bend us out of shape. But Jesus is the one who restores by his blood and by his forgiveness. Sometimes I go walking in the river valley. Usually it's early in the morning. And sometimes I see stuff that's lying in the river valley. And I know not many of you, well, perhaps some of you share this gift of mine. I see it as a gift these days. But bike frames, broken guitars, even old boots, they capture my curiosity sometimes, and I have to go and look at what's there. It's sometimes tearing her hair out that Andrea sees me walking home carrying an armload of what some would call junk. I used to walk by those things that were left by someone else in the river valley and think, that's not my problem. But it's become increasingly difficult for me to do that as I think, that's an opportunity. Now I admit that it can be irritating to have a whole garage full of junk. But forgive me as I make the comparison, but I make it without really needing forgiveness, I think. I think about Jesus. I think about the way that he comes and claims the broken junk in the world. And indulge me if you think that it's maybe out on a limb, but that's what Jesus did. He found us when we were discarded, when we were pushed to the edge and left to kind of wither away on our own. Jesus came and he found us, his sheep. And he picked us up out of the mess that we were stuck in and he brought us home. And it's the joy of Jesus' work to restore. Dear friends, if you're broken or you're feeling discarded, if you're feeling like your experience of life these days has been that society has no more use for you, then hear the voice of your Savior today who says, come. Come in and find a home. Come with me. I've got a place for you. It's just what I had imagined. And you know the second version, the restored version, is going to be even better than the first. It's going to be even more glorious. Come home, says Jesus. Find your restoration in my nail-scarred hands. I'm going to tend to your wounds. Restore. Well, the third word is quicken. Quicken. This is the verb of the Spirit who comes into our lives and fills us with his new life. Quicken is an old-fashioned word, isn't it? There is, of course, the literal usage of quicken. It means to make go faster. But I'm highlighting the sense of this word, which means to animate or to bring to life. In other words, to breathe life into. It's the same language in the old Apostles' Creed, where we speak of the quick and the dead. I used to think that was because maybe there was some dangerous thing chasing us, maybe like a bear was chasing, and the quick would live and the dead would be dead. I guess it's not like that. It's the quick who are breathed into with the life of God. To quicken means to fill with a lively fullness, an attentive wakefulness that sits up straight, that listens, that watches, that sees. I chose this word quicken because I think about the work of God's Spirit. It's perhaps the most difficult to describe. God is always at work, and he is present everywhere, and his power is never diminished. That's all true. But, and there is always this but, in our lives, struggling through the challenges of every day, struggling through our daily routines, the long hours of work, the days when we hope with gritting our teeth, the days when we get tired, the days when we feel like we just don't know how we're going to be able to continue, we need a quickening. Fresh breath. Fresh excitement and strength in our hearts, in our lives. God's Spirit moving and breathing new life into our lives, setting us again to vibrate with this God joy. How does this happen? How is it possible? Well, I'm convinced, dear friends, I'm convinced as I share with you today on Trinity Sunday that it happens in community. It happens as people come together and share their lives with one another in God's presence. It happens as people tell their stories and share their faith with one another. It happens when we bring our created and our creative lives together and look with patience and with grace upon each other's experiences, when we share the experiences of restoration, and when we reflect this life to each other. On Friday morning this past week, I was running in the morning to a group that I have been participating in since about November, and Eric comes, and Wendy comes, and some of you others maybe have heard about it. It's a group called the November Project, and we run from 6 o'clock till 6:30 3 days a week. And I was on my way there, and you know, as often happens along the path, someone else was running there, and we kind of ran and warmed up together, and we got talking. She had recently learned that I was a pastor, and she said, "Wow, that's interesting. I bet, you know, if church was more like the November Project, I bet more people would come." And I had to stop and think, and actually it resounded with me that that's so true. And now if that's not your experience, it's hard to relate to, but what is it? What is it about some communities which draw people in? Well, I can't speak for your community. I'll let you do that. But at least for this community, this running community, this exercise community, this is how we go. This is what we're like. And this is therefore why people come. We cheer hard for people who show up. That's the first thing we do. We cheer hard for people who show up, especially when they show up for the first time. It's a loud group, and I wonder now if we were to cheer here. The other thing we do, a second thing, we keep our words and attitudes positive. We always are trying to encourage. Is that true of God's people in His community? We encourage one another, especially when we see someone struggling, especially when we see someone really having a difficult morning, knowing that we've all been there too. We run hard and we push ourselves to do our personal best. Finally, we seek to meet people that we don't already know. We seek out the ones that are unfamiliar to us. And lastly, we always end with at least one 4-second hips-in hug, we call it. Now that's just this kind of crazy, Andrea says it's sort of a crazy, insane community of runners. But it's a community which brings life. And it quickens us. It quickens us. Dear people of Grace Lutheran Church, as we also are formed in God's image, as we are given this privilege of being His community and reflecting His essence in the world, may the Father, who created us and blessed us with this power to create, continue to form us in His image. May the Son, who restored us by His death and resurrection, continue to heal our lives and give us the ability to care graciously for one another. And may the Spirit, who quickens us and sets us alight, continue to make us into a community of people who vibrate with God joy, attractive and welcoming and encouraging and accessible to all the weary and hurting and forgotten people that we walk by every day. For His glory, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace which passes your understanding and mine guard our hearts together as we worship the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in His mysterious essence. Amen.